Kids are awesome. Amen? Kids are awesome. I love talking to kids. I just love talking to kids. In fact, Thursday night, my wife and I host the Hub, which is the young adult Bible study in our South Hills Church group here. I'm going to just fix this really quick so you guys don't hear anything going off. Because, you know, law, I'm so important, people call me all the time, right? We host the Hub on Thursday night, which is our young adult group, and it's the first and third Thursdays of each night. And this last Thursday, I had a couple that brought their children to the group, and they had this one little four-year-old, and so I thought I'd spend a few minutes talking to the four-year-old, and I was asking them all sorts of questions, but one particular question caught my attention. I asked him, "Julian, what's your favorite ice cream flavor?" And he pondered for a moment, and he went, "Spider-Man, Superman, Batman." I'm like, "Those are ice cream flavors?" And he looked at me with this look like, "Yes." It was awesome. It was awesome. Well, a little girl was sitting on her grandfather's lap as she read her a bedtime story. And from time to time, she would take her eyes off the book and she would reach up and caress her grandfather's wrinkly cheek. And alternately, she would reach down and touch her own cheek. And this would go on back and forth, his cheek to her cheek. Finally, she spoke up and she said, "Grandpa, did God make you?" "Well, yes, sweetheart," he answered. "God made me a long time ago." "Oh." She paused. "Grandpa, did God make me too?" "Absolutely, honey. He made you just a little while ago." Little bit of silence for a second, and all of a sudden she said, "Boy, he's sure getting better at it, isn't he?" I tell you, children are amazing. And Jesus loves the little children. And today we're going to see how Jesus bestowed his compassion upon children, what he expects from us, and finally, what he is going to warn us with. This morning, we're going to look at Matthew chapter 18. If you've got your Bibles with you, just open it to Matthew chapter 18. We are going to be looking at verses 1 through 6. Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 6. I'm going to ask, as we normally do, that you stand as we honor the reading of God's word this morning. And it says this: "At that time, the disciples came to Jesus, saying, 'Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?' And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, 'Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea.'" Father God, this morning as we look into your word and as we hear your words come into our ears and our hearts, God, this morning we would pray that you would open our hearts to what you have to see about children, about our relationship with you, God. I pray, God, that you would change our lives this morning. Father, I especially pray for those this morning that have come hurt by others, God, that you might put your hand of healing upon them this morning, that they would hear your loving spirit speaking to them, and God, that they would turn and come to you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Some things we need to know about the first century when this story was being taken place. In the first century culture, children really had no rights. They were considered a person of low or no importance. They were subject to their authorities, and they were really not taken seriously. They were looked down at. They were looked at I had to take care of them, but they were never looked up to. And I think that we can learn a lot from children, so I'm going to take a look here and just give you four things that we can learn from kids. And I believe that these four characteristics of children As adults, we tend to grow away from them through the pressures of our work environment, through the pressures of life, through things and circumstances that happen to us. We move away from them. And I think you'll hear in God's word this morning that if we turn back to those similar characteristics with regard to our relationship with Jesus, that we will grow much closer to God. So let's look at the first one. The first characteristic that I see in children is transparency. Absolute transparency. Kids just say what's on their mind, don't they? And you heard it a little bit this morning. There's no hesitation. Here it is. It's all out in the open. Little Mikey came home from his first day at school, and his mom says to him, "Well, did you have a good day?" And Mikey said, "Well, I can't read, I can't write, and they won't let me talk, so what's the use?" There's no question how Mikey feels. But have you ever heard a little child pray? A little child, when they kneel before the throne of God and they start giving their requests, there is no limitations in their mind of what God can do and what God will do for them. They ask for everything. They ask for anything. And they trust and they believe that God will do these things that they're praying for. They're just real with God. I envy that a lot of times. The second characteristic is humility. Deep, deep humility. Children know that they cannot do things without mom and dad there. They're always saying, "Mom, help me. Dad, help me. Can you help tie my shoe? Can you help read a book? Mom, can you take me to the bathroom?" Whatever it is, it's always, "Can you help me?" They recognize that without support, without the help, they can't do anything. It has well been said that true humility is not thinking meanly of oneself. It is just simply not thinking of oneself at all. Let me say that again. True humility is not thinking meanly of oneself. It is simply not thinking of oneself at all. John Townsend and Henry Cloud, in their book, How People Grow, said it this way: "Coming to the end of ourselves reduces us to a childlike state of need and helplessness. Children by nature are relationally oriented. When in pain, they reach out for the protective, comforting parent. They don't say, 'I'll be strong and ride this one out.' They cry out for help." This is the humility of a child. Likewise, in his book, The Incarnational Christian, Steve Meeks says it this way: "The Christ-like community readily accepts its littleness, and its nothingness without God. But it also is aware of its greatness with God, humble but courageous, dependent but fearless." This is humility. This is the humility of a child. The third characteristic of a child I think we need to be aware of is that they are trusting. They are absolutely trusting. A little child will believe what their parents tell them. They will believe what they hear from their parents. This is so important if you're a parent in this room or a grandparent in this room. And I'm a parent too, we need to be really careful. If we tell our kids that we are going to do something with them later on and we do not do that something with them, we break down that trust relationship. Children trust Jesus because of what they hear in the Bible. They don't need it proven to them. They don't need it seen. They just have trust. Oh, that we would have the trust of a little child. The fourth characteristic is joy. Children laugh. They smile. They can have fun with the very simplest of things, a stick and an ant. And they can play for hours chasing this ant with a stick. They just enjoy the moment of the day. They're not overly concerned about what's going to happen tomorrow or where they're going to be tomorrow or where they're not going to be. They're just excited about today. Those are the four characteristics I want you to keep in mind as we journey through this lesson today from Jesus. and see what we can learn from children and see how Jesus speaks about children. The first point, if you're following along on your bulletins and your notes, is the example. Jesus is the example here, and he sets an example. Jesus personally highly values little children. In our passage this morning in verse 1, it says the disciples came to Jesus with a question. And evidently in Mark's recount of the same event, the disciples had been arguing on the way, on the road as they were walking, which one of them was the greatest in all the kingdom of heaven. And they waited with bated breath as Jesus is about to give them a response. They were waiting for Jesus to name one of them. Peter, the rock. James and John, sons of thunder. Thomas, the will-be doubter. Maybe they're the greatest and most important. But Jesus, as he always is countercultural. And he's often very radical in his response. And as he hears these disciples asking which one is going to be the greatest in all the kingdom, he reaches out and calls to a young child and brings this child in the midst of them. Remember what I said, the culture was. Children were not important. They were not to be looked up to. They were to look down on. They had no rights. And here's Jesus pulling this child in the midst of them. And in verse 2, he calls this child. And in verse 3, he says, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn," obviously that means they were in the wrong direction in their thinking. "If you turn and become like children, unless you do that, you will never see the kingdom of God," kingdom of heaven. I think here's what Jesus is trying to say. Many of us try to grow up in ways that we really don't need to grow up. We try to become independent. We try to become capable of doing things on our own. We can take care of this. Even spiritually, we look up and we go, "Hey, God, don't worry about this one. It's too small. I got it. I can take care of it. I'm strong. I'm courageous. I'm knowledgeable. I've been studying a long time. I know how to act in church. I know how to act in my life group." And it's at that point, I think, Jesus calls that little child into our lives and says, "Turn. Because unless you become like this child, you'll never see the kingdom of heaven." As parents, we ought to seek to be good examples to our kids. And Jesus brings and has this child become an example to us as adults. The word children is often used in God's word, and it's often used to be a term of the children of us as adults, of children of God. He uses it as the children of Israel, the children of the promise, children of the day, the children of night, or of the light rather, children of God. He starts sentences with "dear children." And he is talking to those who have accepted him. Those who have accepted the promise of Jesus Christ and his death and resurrection. You are his children. Stop trying to act like spiritual adults. He wants us to be humble. He wants us to trust him. He wants us to be transparent with him. He wants us to find great joy in him. He continues in verse 4 of this passage, and he says, "Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." R.T. France, in his commentary, states this: "True greatness is to be found in being little. True importance in being unimpressive." True greatness is found in being little. True importance in being unimpressive. Another example of how highly Jesus values children is seen in Matthew 19. When Jesus is teaching to a large, large crowd near Judea. And this large crowd is bringing their children to him, even infants. They're bringing him and pushing through the crowd trying to get to Jesus so that Jesus would hold their child, their infant. That he would heal them, that he would love them, that he would bless them, lay hands on them, that he would pray for them. And they're fighting the crowds trying to get to Jesus. Apparently, the disciples hadn't learned their lesson yet. And they rebuke the adults. They rebuke the parents and say, don't come near Jesus. Don't bring your children to Jesus. But again, Jesus responds and says this, let the little children come to me and do not hinder. I often wonder what we could learn from children. And I want you to just watch this little video for just a second and just see what we can learn from children.
Why did Christ have to die on a cross?
I guess for all our sins.
What does that mean?
What does that mean? Yeah. It's all, I don't know for now, you know. But I go to church every Sunday. Still. Yeah.
Tell me why the cross is significant to Christianity.
I think because it's because I'm not a firm believer in the whole deal. I think it's because that's where Jesus Christ was, his last minutes where we were there. It's supposed to symbolize what he gave for you and I, whatever.
Well, I really wouldn't be in a position to answer that because I'm not Christian, so I really wouldn't know why it would be important to Christians, but I would assume that it would be symbolic of his love for people and his love for God.
Who is Jesus?
Jesus is God.
Jesus is the Holy Spirit.
Who is Jesus?
The Lamb of God.
He died on the cross. He rose again. He was born.
He was born. When was he born?
I don't know.
Jesus is the Lamb of God.
What's his last name?
I don't know. So he can die on the cross when he growed and wash away our sins.
He could be born to grow up and die on the cross to die for sins and pay the price.
Do you think it hurt?
Yes.
Yeah, it probably did. But he forgave you for your sins?
Yes.
Is Jesus the only way to get to heaven?
Yes.
Do you think the world believes that?
No.
What do you think most people think about Jesus?
He's not real.
Did Jesus really have to die on the cross?
I think so.
Why?
Because he had to save our sins. What do you think about? I'm wrong-headed?
He died on the cross for our sins.
And what's Jesus' last name?
Christ.
That when he came to us, he healed people and he taught people.
Tell me about the cross.
It was sort of like made out of wood. Back then, if somebody, if they did something really bad, then they'd die on the cross.
What's Christmas all about?
About Jesus' birthday.
God's birthday.
Jesus' birthday.
Wow. Do you think that everybody in the world thinks it's about his birthday?
Not everybody.
Why not?
Because some people sin.
What do mommy and daddy think about Christmas?
I forget.
I think that Christmas is about Jesus being born and about when he came to the earth.
Christmas is about Jesus' birth and dying on the cross.
All right. Is it about anything else?
I don't know. I think they think about Christmas is all about presents.
I got a lot of things about Christmas.
Oh, yeah?
Actually, I got three things.
What are the three things?
Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And the other one is I like to eat Thanksgiving dinner. And I like to wake up in the morning.
Do you think that everybody in the world believes in Jesus?
No.
So what do we got to do about that?
We got to tell them and... Tell them what Jesus did for us.
It's a good idea to bring our children to Jesus, isn't it? It was God's calling on my children that brought my family back into a right relationship with Jesus. My children were very young. I'd stopped going to church in my late teens, and I hadn't gone to church even when my children were young. And it was one day that I was contemplating my own salvation, and I truly believed that I was going to enter the kingdom of heaven because at a young age I had received Jesus Christ. I had just walked away from him. But the Lord impressed upon me that my children were lost, and I had done nothing about it. So we started to look for a church home. We found a church home, and by the grace of God, I saw both my children accept Jesus Christ, and I had the blessing of being able to baptize both of them. God calls the children to him. He calls the children to him. And I'm just kind of curious, in this audience this morning, by a show of hands, if you accepted Jesus Christ under the age of 18, will you raise your hand for me? Just raise it really high. Wow, that's a lot of people. Keep your hands up. If you accepted Jesus Christ under the age of 10, keep your hands up. Okay, go ahead and put your hands down. Just the other side of it, if you accepted Jesus Christ as an adult over the age of 18, just raise your hand. That's great. Amen. Praise Jesus for that. There's been a long-standing statistic from Focus on the Family and the Barna Statistics Organization that says that 80% of people who have accepted Jesus Christ have done so under the age of 18. And I don't know whether that 80% is really accurate or not. There was a few more hands in this audience that said they did before 18 than there was after 18. But I do know this. Our children at South Hills Church are very, very important to us. So I just want to share a little bit about how important they are to us. First and foremost, we have a children's ministry that we take and we work at very hard. Up on the screen is a picture of Miss Heidi and Miss Aaron on the bottom left-hand side there. They are looking after your children. They dearly love your children. They desire to have your children hear about Jesus each and every Sunday. And they send stuff home so that you can work with your children as well. And they dearly, dearly love your children. We have Pastor Jeff up on the top right-hand side there who look after the middle school students and the high school students. The middle school students just came back from their summer camp, of which they had 17 kids make a recommitment to Jesus Christ, and 10 say they want to be baptized. We strongly have a desire to reach children. We have the children's story time each week. We have children's outreach programs. We had VBS, where we had close to 300 children here hearing the word of God, hearing who Jesus is and how much they love him. We have Upward Soccer that's starting this fall. We just had our first evaluations. We already have 100 children signed up for that. We desperately need coaches. We desperately need team parents. We desperately need people who want to come and be prayer disciples for these kids. And so if that's something you think you can do, that's how you can help in this children's ministry. We have mission trips that we send out. You heard last week from Montana that they had 15 children come to know Jesus because of the mission trips that we're doing. Today we're sending out a team to Honduras who are going to go help the children in the Kalan school learn about who Jesus Christ is. We believe that children are very, very important and that they need to hear the word of God. Lastly, we've just hired our new family life pastor, Pastor Matthew. We're going to throw his picture up on there. Pastor Matthew, his wife Miranda, their children Jonah, Libby, and Samuel. They'll be starting here August the 3rd. Pastor Matthew's job is to oversee the children's ministry, young adults, young families, men's, women's ministry. We are so looking forward to see how Pastor Matthew is going to come and watch God work in and through him and see a huge change in our community here because of him. We're excited about that. So we know that Jesus highly values children. So what does he expect of his disciples? Here's the expectation. Jesus wants his followers to highly value children. Verse 5. Of our passage this morning, it said, "Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, he says. At the Hub, the young adult gathering at our house, my wife and I, Allison, we receive these young adults. And the word to receive is to bring them in as honored guests, as friends. This is what we want to do with the children. We also know that Jesus is talking about spiritual children, those who have newly come to know him, have put their faith in him. We are to welcome them. We are to invite them in. We are to receive them and bring them into our team and our family. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 42, Jesus says, "And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of water." Here he's talking about this humble servitude to children. Because we're not just supposed to say, "Oh, children, we love them. They're just so great when they're with their parents. They're so great when we can send them off and do their thing." That's not the kind of love that Jesus wants here. Jesus calls us to love in word and deed. 1 John 3:18, "Let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth." And we're supposed to get involved with little children. Mark 9, verse 37, "Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me." And he goes on to say, "Whoever receives me receives the Father." So we are to value and welcome the little children. We are to welcome the spiritual children, those that have just come to faith. We are to open our arms wide to them as honored guests. But in verse 6, Jesus brings an exhortation. And Jesus warns his followers of the severe consequences of those who hurt children. And he says this, "But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin or to fall or to trap or to trip or to stumble in their walk, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin," what does that look like? How do we hurt kids? Well, Ephesians verse 6 or chapter 6 verse 4 says we often provoke them to anger. And it warns us not to provoke them to anger. We hurt them by not teaching them and failing to teach them. Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 9 commands us to teach our children the word of God, to pass it down to them. I was reading an article from Focus on the Family. It was called "Launching Your Child's Faith, What's the Rush?" And John Tent says this. He's the author. "Recently, I asked several hundred parents of younger children at a large church these three questions. First, do you think it's important to pass down your faith to your children? And as you might guess, 90% of them said, absolutely, it's important. The second question was this, do you think your child will have a strong faith when he or she gets out of college? And again, over 90% of those responding said, you bet they will. The third question, outside of going to church, what are you doing intentionally to introduce and build a growing faith for your child? Fewer than 30% said they were doing anything purposely to meet that goal during the 166 hours a week their children are at home. Think about that. Think about that. These wonderful, godly, well-intentioned people, parents, embrace the faith by the time they are their own. They want to pass that on to their children. They think that their children are going to grow up and that they're going to leave college and have that strong faith, but really all they're doing is dressing them up and dropping them off at church and making it someone else's responsibility. In my previous church where I was a youth pastor, I had two parents come to me at separate times. Their children had walked away from the Lord, and they were angry with me because I hadn't done enough. 1 hour a week isn't going to cut it. We've been commanded to teach our children. So I encourage you to find ways to intentionally teach your children to grow them up in their faith. Titus 2:7 tells us we need to be and set a good example. If we're a bad example to our children, they will lean and learn from our examples. You've heard the saying, do as I, not what I, do as I say, not what I do. And children will always do what you do. Growing up, I grew up in church. My parents took me to church every Sunday, and every Wednesday night we had prayer meetings, and I went with those. But Monday and Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, I never heard about Jesus. I had no idea that we were supposed to be reading our Bible or praying together. I had no idea that I should be living out this life, and I watched my father and my parents kind of change a mindset. They would change their whole mindset of what was supposed to happen. And yet we'd pick up, and again on Sunday we'd go. It's confusing for a child. Do I put on a mask and go to church and take it off when I get home? Or is this who I am 24/7, 365? God calls us to be an example to our children. We can hurt them with hurtful words and lack of focused attention, a lack of discipline in love. Those are other ways that we can hurt them. Last week, our church held and hosted Sold, the Human Trafficking Experience. If you were one of the 241 people that walked through that experience, that event, you will understand the hurtful things that are being done to children in the world today. And it's not just overseas. It's happening right here in our backyard. I was so excited to see that 79 men were part of that 241 people, and that 80 of those people were teens. It was a great thing to see. But there are children hurting all over the world, and we're imposing this hurt upon them. At the end of the experience, there was an opportunity for you to sit down and contemplate and to even write out prayers. And maybe you saw in the lobby, and if you haven't, I encourage you to go see the pallets that are around the pole and all the prayers that are stapled to it. There's just a few of them out there. But I want to share one particular prayer with you this morning. It was written this way. Today, as I sit here, a former prostitute many years ago, I pray for those who don't see a way out, those who get beaten, raped, sodomized for the enjoyment of pigs. My prayer is that you find Jesus, find hope and grace as you escape to freedom. There is hope. 30 plus years later, I am drug free, a mother, grandmother, and a wife, also a Christian woman fighting for your rights. Be safe. Children are being hurt all over the world, but there is grace and there is hope. So then, what does Jesus then say about the consequences of not valuing little children? Verse 6 continues this way in his harsh words. It would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned into the depths of the sea. One of my deepest fears in my life is that of drowning. I can't even imagine something worse. And Jesus says this, and this is important to hear because he is serious about this. Those who don't value the children, those who just want to hurt children, it would be worse for them than to have a millstone tied around their neck and drowned in the depths of the sea. Behind me, you're going to see a picture of what a millstone really looks like. And you can see there it's crushing grain or crushing rice. Usually they're about 10 to 12 inches thick and can weigh up to 1,000 pounds. And Jesus says, it would be better for you to have it tied around your neck and thrown into the sea. 1 Corinthians 8:12 says, and when you sin against other believers by encouraging them to do something they believe is wrong, you are sinning against Christ. This morning, I want you to take seriously the little children. I want you to take serious your relationship with Jesus Christ. Are you transparent with him? Have you found humility, your dependence upon him, your need for him, your helplessness without him? Do you trust him? Not because he's proven it to you, but because he's said it to you. Each one of the kids Well, how do you know that's true? Because I read it in the Bible. God told me it must be true. Trust him as you would as a child and find great joy. I'm so thankful for our children's program here at South Hills Church and for the hundreds and hundreds of volunteers, even in this room this morning, that are going to be teaching children later on. I am so thankful for you. May you also find the faith of a child, the kingdom of heaven, and great joy. Let me pray. Thank you, Lord, that you love the little children. Thank you, Father, for calling me as a young child to you. Thank you for those who taught me about you and showed me your love. Thank you for those who work in our children's programs and our children's ministry, tirelessly showing them your love for them. God, I would ask you to encourage each one of the parents here this morning, each one of the grandparents, God, that we would find intentional ways, that we would seek to find ways that we can raise up our children in you, God, that they would find their faith in you and that they would hold tight to it, God, not because we've dropped them off at church, but because we've invested hard into our children's lives, teaching them as you've commanded us in Deuteronomy. God, may we find that we would be like a little child to have faith in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.